And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, this might be an all-time record for latest podcast. The last time I did a podcast, I guess now it would have been the day before yesterday, I said that we did a late podcast, and I shouldn't even say a late podcast. It was just a podcast that came out like a day after the fact, and it was after the draft because Tommy Shepard's press conference went so late, and I wasn't going to do a press conference, or I wasn't going to do a podcast after the press conference because it got so late, and Ben Standing and I got tired and all that stuff. And I felt kind of bad. Because if I'm a fan of the team, like, I want that stuff churned out for the next morning when the big stuff happens, whether it's good or whether it's bad or whatever. And in the draft, it's good news. It's exciting. The Wizards picked an exciting young player who could be turned into a legitimately good player. And they got Cassius Winston and all this fun stuff. And then free agency starts. And now there's crazy stuff happening right now. So it is 3:40 in the morning for me right now on the East Coast of the United States of America. And on the Skype line with me is Michele Berra, who was nice enough to come on with me last second and talk about what the heck is happening right now on this first night of free agency.
Hey, I mean, I'm glad to be on. It's a much better time to record a podcast for me because it's Saturday morning. I have virtually nothing else to do than talk basketball with you. So it's great to be on. I mean, and I think that the Wizards cut themselves a very, very good start of free agency.
Well, maybe the literal part of free agency. But maybe just with the free agents. Let's lead with, you know what? We kind of have to lead with at least talking about, let me just go over what happened in case you missed it, because Friday night started off slow.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of signings that came out. I think part of the reason there weren't a lot of signings that came out, by the way, was because of everything that's going on with the Bucks, where the Bucks executed a sign and trade 4 days before they were allowed, are getting in trouble for it, and I think everybody was a little bit wary about stuff getting out like right at 6:01 when they're allowed to and being accused of tampering or cap circumvention like the Bucks are and all those sorts of things. So I think it was slow coming out for the first hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it explodes. So here's what the Wizards specifically did. They signed Anthony Gill, who played last year in Russia, plays college ball at Virginia, stretch four. Had a scout text me when he signed that he can shoot the F out of it. He didn't say F, but I wouldn't say this is a family podcast, but it's a, I won't go that far. They signed Robin Lopez to a portion of the mid-level exception. As of the time I'm recording this, I'm still not sure exactly what the money is on Robin Lopez, but I'm sure that's a one-year deal. He had a player option for about $5.6 million, and so my guess would be it's somewhere in that realm, but we'll see. They signed Davis Bertans to a five-year, $80 million deal. We are going to discuss that. I know you love it, and we're going to talk about it. The big news was Shams Charania, my colleague, reporting that talks between the Wizards and Rockets for Russell Westbrook have stalled. I wrote my story that's going to come out in the morning and should be out by the time this podcast is out, that I think they stalled over kind of conversations about the Rockets wanting something else beyond Wall in those deals, whether that's a pick or a young player or something like that, and the Wizards being unwilling to put something in there. But now that they've stalled, John Wall has made it clear, as Shams put it, to the Wizards that he wants out. He wants a trade. All right. A lot of stuff. There is so much stuff to unpack. Where are we leading? I'm going to let you lead the way so I just remove responsibility.
I think we should start with the amazing contract that the Wizards signed for Bertans. I was really scared that the contract could be something with the two starting in front of the number. It was a legit possibility. Like, the Wizards had all the interest in signing Bertans. He made an amazing season. He is probably the best shooter in the NBA right now, in terms of like volume and variety of positions on the court where he can take a shot, which is everywhere.
You think You think he's a better shooter than Klay Thompson, assuming Klay's healthy, or are you discounting Klay?
Well, I think it would be a very good contest between the two. I do think that Bertans, with the size that he has, he can really shoot it against basically anyone. Like, it's very hard to make things harder for Bertans to shoot it. But yeah, I mean, let's rephrase it, is one of the top five shooters in the NBA. And if you get a big that is a top five shooter in the NBA, you're getting someone who can really change things on offense for you. But if you look around and see, for example, the money that Gallo got reportedly from the Hawks, which is $20 million per year, it could have been similar for Bertans. $16 million, if you want to trade tomorrow Bertans to, say, the Milwaukee Bucks or to the Golden State Warriors, mid-season for Kelly Oubre and I don't know how many picks, you can do that immediately. This is what it makes, for me, extremely good for the Wizards, because not only you get a player that you want, you get it at the number where it makes sense for almost half the league of trading for a guy like that. So it's a very, very good signing for the Wizards.
So I'll add on also the contract structure, which we don't know about yet. The deals aren't official. They can't be official for a couple of days. So this is one of a few different possibilities. I mean, if you want, you can structure the contract so it's just $16 million every year. Mm-hmm. My educated guess is that's not how they're going to do it. You normally start with a lower salary and you go 5% raises each year. And if the Wizards do that with that contract, they structure it in really the most normal way a contract can be structured. That means his salary for the 2020-21 season will be $13.8 million. And that's a big deal because the Wizards are about 26 or 27. I mean, I haven't done the math after tonight, but before signing Robin Lopez and Gil, they're about $26, $27 million away from the luxury tax line. Mm-hmm. And Bertans, with a $13.8 million salary, does not bring them, or I should say, still allows them to use the full mid-level exception in order to operate. So depending on how much they give Robin Lopez, and I don't want to go too into the weeds on what they could do depending on how much, because that could become outdated quickly when that number comes out at some point very soon, you know? But just it allows for more roster flexibility because they're able to use their mid-level exception. They might be able to use the biannual exception. Obviously, they only have so many roster spots. I'm assuming at this point that Pasechniks is not going to be on the roster. His contract doesn't guarantee until the 24th, so I'm sure they'll waive him before then. They've got Thomas Bryant, Mo Wagner, Rui Hachimura. Now they've got Gil. They've got Robin Lopez. They've got Avdija. They've got, I might even be forgetting another. They've got Bertans. I mean, that's seven guys who, like, Avdija is a three, but, you know, he's at least going to block the ability for some minutes to be able to play a Hachimura Bertans front court. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of positional overlap there, and you're not adding Pasechniks to that mix, but I agree with everything that you said. Like, you have a shooter like that, then there is value for a shooter like that. I preemptively, in the story that I wrote, kind of, I don't want to say I railed against it, but I debunked anybody who is potentially going to call this a Ryan Anderson contract, because it's not that.
No,
Ryan Anderson was a stationary, standstill 3-point shooter who took his threes right at the 3-point line. He was actually the type of player who was already people think is, oh, stretch four, that's a modern player. No, stretch four like him, that's already an outdated player, a stretch four like him. Bertans runs off screens and takes shots from 30 feet.
Yeah.
He shot 46% on threes from 29 feet or farther. Like, that dude just guns it. And when he and Beal were on the floor together, they scored 119 points per 100 possessions, which is outrageous. I mean, you do that over the course of a season, you're literally the best offense of all time by far.
Yeah.
That's how good that number is. And it's because you have a shooter like that with a facilitator and scorer and shooter like Beal, and you have those two guys together and you are going to score. And the Wizards were so excited to have Bertans and Wall play together. We're going to see if they do play together.
Well, dreams are dreams, but we did a research, probably all your listeners know about that, about John Wall passing accuracy. And I was eager to see if Bertrand's number could actually go up with a passer like John Wall that can hit him in the pocket 80% of the time. So I really think that could work if John's Wall trade demands will not be met. Probably we are going to see it. A couple of thoughts on the contract. I know that it sounds good to have more space this season, but I venture that in general, if you can have a veteran taking a salary that is going down instead of going up, especially for a guy that you can flip like in 2-3 years, that makes the contract even more valuable. Because if you're okay in trading for Bertans at 16 million, imagine when he has like 2 years left on his contract and somehow your team is going in another direction. If you have him at like, say, 14 millions, something like that, you can get enormous value for a contract like that. So I know that the space is tight, and probably if you want to add a couple of players, you are creeping too close to the luxury tax. But if Bertans' camp is okay in waiting a little bit in constructing the salary, like structuring if it goes up or if it goes down, then I think you're making yourself a favor, because maybe in 3 days it will be clear that with John Wall trade, you're not adding too much salary, or maybe you get like a little bit less. And so you are free to structure the contract either in a steady contract, like 16 per year flat, or decreasing. Because again, for the player, it makes sense. You get more money now. Who cares if you get a little bit less in the future? I doubt that over the, I don't remember how old Bertans is. Is he
28.
Yeah. So we are talking when he's 33, there is like virtually zero chance that he gets more than 13, 14 millions per year. It's hard to.
Yeah. The numbers basically go in reverse. His last year salary would be about 13.8.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, you can sign for it's likely that he will get, if he stays healthy and keeps being this awesome shooter that he is, it's probably likely that at 33 he gets another contract around that number. So I don't know. I would push hard if I'm the Wizards to structure a deal in such a way, because again, it increased the value of the player a lot in terms of trades and stuff like that.
It's a very good point, and I might be thinking in the Wizards want to win right now mindset. Mm-hmm. When after tonight's news, I'm not sure how they organizationally are going to. I don't think this was like out of nowhere news to them tonight. I don't think this just like happened and they were totally caught aback. I really don't think that was the case at all, to be honest. And I wrote about the tradability of John Wall 3 days ago, mm-hmm. when that Westbrook and Wall report first came out from Shams. I wrote about that for a reason. Like, this is a plausible thing that could happen. And another point to add on, by the way, to your Bertans thing before we get to Wall stuff, which was a good point, is that decreasing contracts are also valuable for one more reason too. and it's that the salary cap tends to go up year by year, mm-hmm. even if it only goes up a couple of million. So as the cap is going up and the number is going down, then that number is becoming an even smaller percentage of the salary cap yeah. as you go forward.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the amount of money isn't what makes you a good value contract or a bad value contract. It's the amount of money you make in relation to what the salary exactly. cap is. So as the salary cap goes up and your salary goes down, you know, it's actually, you're actually becoming an even better value, an even greater proportion than it appears just by the salary. So that's a good point by you, and it was definitely worth mentioning. We got to talk about Wall, though, because obviously this is the most important thing. It's the most important Wizards news in a long time. And I don't know, man. I grew up a Clippers fan. I'm currently a Jets fan.
I'm sorry for you.
I'm currently a Jets fan. Thankfully, I have the Yankees to even out all of that. But I as like a sports fan, have been through sad sports stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes media members, we go to, and I do this all the time, I kind of get caught up in the weeds. And I'm thinking like, okay, should I throw out John Wall trade ideas on the podcast? I have like 5 minutes to brainstorm before we're doing it. We're talking for, you know, 5 minutes before we come on the pod. I'm like, what can we talk about with Wall? And I'm like, man, like if I were a Wizards fan tonight, John Wall's been there for 10 years. He really is. It's a weird relationship with Wall, which I feel like people outside of DC, non-Wizards fans probably don't realize, where in most cases, a guy gets a max contract or the equivalent of a max contract, depending on what sport they play in, you know, some giant payday, and they're a big name, and then they get hurt or they don't live up to it for whatever the reason, whether it's their fault or not. You know, I said I'm a Yankees fan, Giancarlo Stanton, very similar thing, gets a $300 million deal. He's hurt all the time. Yankees fans hate him. When in reality, Giancarlo Stanton is not exactly going out there and trying to get hurt.
Yeah.
That dude is more broken up about it than anybody else.
Yeah.
And what's weird is that nationally, people talk about John Wall in that kind of similar fashion to how they talk about those other sorts of guys. In D.C., I think people think like, oh, he signed a big contract and then he got hurt. You'd want to get rid of him. Wizards fans love John Wall, man. Like, they must be heartbroken. Like, that sucks for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the case. You are evaluated by the contract you have. And it's weird. As you said, I mean, it's not that John Wall is actively trying to be hurt or to not be on the court or to be bad when he's on the court. Like, these are professionals that their entire life, a good chunk of their life rolls around basketball. And it's not that when you get the bag, you're done and you're saying, well, now I'm enjoying my $40 million contract. I don't believe that. So it's actually great that the Wizards fans, or the majority of them, actually love the guy, even if, I mean, it's not bringing any value to their team. It's a tricky situation, because I don't know why he wants out, or he, like, his camp is slipping that he wants out. Maybe he has already a destination in mind. It might very well be Houston, but I don't know. It's interesting, the approach that the Wizards are taking here. Like, do I accommodate the willing of my star player, probably not getting anything good back? If I'm really, really lucky, I get another contract is similar and the player that I'm getting is slightly better than what we expected, like Russell Westbrook with Bradley Beal, Bertans, Achimura, Avdija. He can be very good because open floor. He can run around, pass the ball very well, and reevaluate himself, like re-up the value of his contract. But other than that, you're not getting anything for John Wall. If you play him a season and he's back at like almost like he was before the injury, then maybe that contract doesn't look so bad. So I see the conundrum that the Wizards are going to face. Like, do I hold on and hope that everything works, that he finds magic again with Bradley Beal, and maybe we are either good with him, or we can at least get something when he has just 2 years left on his contract, and just we don't have to give assets away just to accommodate his request.
I think that's the predicament that they're in right now. I mean, you know what's funny? And I had about 9,000 thoughts racing through my head when the Wall report came out. But you know what one of them was?
Tell me.
I was just thinking, so Shams says Wall made it clear to the Wizards that he wants out. And my reaction was like, okay, so John goes to management and says he wants to be traded. And to me, it would be like, so like when I was a kid, I was a bad student. So like when I was in high school, I used to not do my homework. My parents used to yell at me all the time. Every day they'd yell at me about doing my homework. And I just imagine like if I went to my parents junior year and while we were at the dinner table and I demanded to them that I do my homework that night, they'd be like, we know. We've been telling you to do your homework the whole time. Like, that's how I imagine they reacted. As if, like John is on a contract that I think a lot of people might say is the hardest to trade in the entire league. Mm-hmm. It's like, if the Wizards could trade John and get something back, I think that's something they would have done a while back.
Yeah.
So I just imagine the reaction is like, yeah, okay, we know. Let's do that, okay. I don't know what it's going to be. It seems like I think the Westbrook Wall thing has legs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to happen. It's kind of hard to figure out if that sort of stuff is going to happen, because if Houston wants more than just Wall and Washington is trading Wall and Washington doesn't want to compromise its future, it's not going to want to give up picks. And Westbrook is the better player with the better career, who's the healthier player as well. Mm-hmm. So Houston might be justified in asking for that extra stuff too. So unless they kind of just both come to an agreement where they both say, all right, we have no leverage because our guy says he wants to get traded, and you have no leverage because your guy says he wants to get traded, let's just do a scenery change, and we're probably both better off if we just take the other one's guy. And we don't have to debate over who's going to be better off to the greater degree. We can just say we're both better off. Let's compromise here and just swap them together, which is a thing that has happened. I mean, a variation of that was the Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul deal, although there were still a bunch of picks exchanged than that.
Yeah.
A better variation was something that I wrote about on Tuesday, which was the Bismack Biyombo for Timofey Mozgov deal from 2 years ago, which is not nearly as sexy as this one would be, but I think the principles are very similar. We signed a center for a really large contract in 2016 and we don't play him, and you signed a center for a really large contract in 2016 and you don't play him, and they both make the exact same amount of money, so let's flip them for each other and it'll work. And they did that, and then, you know, the Mozgov got flipped for Dwight Howard as well in a very similar thing. So those sorts of deals can happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in this situation. If it doesn't, I don't know what the next deal is going to be. But if that does happen, it's something that, like, there's a historical precedence for it, even if it's not with stars who are that big names.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's focus for a second on the CP3 Westbrook deal, because I am on the low end in terms of that deal is great for OKC, because the picks that they got are very, very good picks for the Rockets. Like, they are highly protected. I mean, I know that getting in the top four, it's not easy. But if you really want to bottom out, you can still kind of do it. I wonder if you can get some, you can do something similar, banking on the fact that, well, betting on the fact that Russell Westbrook will make your team better and competitive. So say that you give the Rockets two highly protected firsts that immediately go to 2 second rounders, like something along the lines of the pick that OKC sent for Jeremy Grant. Like, it's top 20 protected. If it conveys, great. If it doesn't, it's 2 second rounders or 1 second rounder. I think that if you want to bet on yourself and you think that getting Russ will help you more than keeping Wall and hoping for a better deal, then maybe it's something that you do. Again, I wouldn't want picks that rolls to the future, because A, it becomes way more dangerous, and B, it prevents you to do more trades using picks. So say that you do 2021 lottery protected and 2023 top 20 protected. I think that something like that, it seems a lot, because it seems that you are getting out two picks. But if you're that good with Russ, then who cares? Like, it means that you're doing the playoffs 1 year, in 2023 you are top 10 in the league. I think that the Wizards could be okay. And if you have to give 2 second rounders for a good Russell Westbrook, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if that's what they end up doing. It's not the only trade that has come to my mind. None of the other ones that I'm thinking have been reported at all, have been told to me as sources or anything like that. It's just like, you know, trades come to your mind. Mm-hmm. How much time do you have left? When do you have to go?
Well, it depends on how good your trades are. You know that I love trades. So if you give me something good to work with.
Okay.
Because I have a set trades. I mean, we can make up trades, but I don't want them.
I mean, I have one.
Go ahead.
I have one. Well, the obvious one that you could talk about would be Detroit just signed a bunch of bigs, and salaries match with Blake Griffin, I believe.
Okay. Now Blake has 2 years left. I have 30 seconds. Then I have to go.
Oh, well, that's not the one that I was going to say. That was the obvious one. You'd have to throw in picks or young guys to make that work, probably, because Blake has 2 years left and Wall has 3. But yeah. Can I tell you my one that I thought of tonight?
Yeah, go ahead.
What about something around Wall for Horford?
I don't think OKC will ever go close to that kind of deal. I don't see the upside. For me, like, yes, you can do it, but you have to give me like four first round picks, something crazy like that. And because, yeah, you can take on Wall, you cannot stretch him in year one, probably not in year two as well. You may stretch
him. I don't think you can stretch him at all. I mean,
maybe in the last year of his contract you can do it, because
a $47 million player option.
Or just live with it. Like, it's to me, like, you have to add something for it to work. And yeah, probably OKC has salary now, because there is a report that Steven Adams is going elsewhere, which is sad for me. But then probably they will have like salary to work with. But like, what's the incentive for OKC? Re-up Wall's value? Yeah, maybe. But if you fail, you have a player that will demand out in 2 months, probably, if he's not happy there and if things are not working. For what? Like, it really needs to be something like 3 first-round picks, and most of them unprotected. Like, I don't see a world where OKC says, well, yeah, we will try it out. Like, are you willing to put three unprotected picks for that deal? Say that you get something good, like George Hill and Al Horford, or J.J. Redick and Al Horford, whoever New Orleans is getting, maybe Bledsoe, Josh Hart. I don't know who can get for Adams, but it will be a combination of those players. I'm not sure who New Orleans wants to put in the deal. Maybe Niccolò Melli. I don't know. I'm just throwing out like all the money that New Orleans has. But would you spend three unprotected first? Because I'm sure that this will be Sam's request.
No, and I don't think the Wizards would do that either. And I think you're probably right. I think I was more thinking about it from the Wizards side of like Horford making sense and that being a little something. The thing is that a lot of the options that, like, you know, I say options with an air quote around it, mm-hmm. because they're not really options, because Wall's contract is just, I think, maybe the most difficult to trade in the league. And a lot of the options, air quotes, are worse options than they already were, because, you know, I mentioned Blake Griffin with Detroit, for example. And I think especially if Blake is healthy, like, Blake was great 2 years ago when he made all NBA. Mm-hmm. He was incredible that year. And yeah. I think he's going to age better than people think, as long as he just literally stays on the floor, because he is a fabulous passer, has an unbelievable IQ, has a great handle. His game is just no longer – he's a good shooter. He's a good shooting four. He was like 36% on 7 threes a game. He's a reliable shooting four now, and he's a playmaking four. I could just see him being a guy, even if he just becomes unable to move. Like, I could see him being just a guy who lives off of IQ and doesn't come close to the salary he's making in terms of production, obviously, but is just like a really helpful role player. I could see him becoming that, as long as he is literally able to stay on the court because of how unbelievably skilled he's become.
Yeah.
And anyway, getting back to the trade, because I just go on rants now. That's what I do when I podcast at 4:09 in the morning. But let's say even you were able to find a deal that previously, like 5 days ago, Detroit would have agreed to, where you get, you know, Blake goes to Washington and Wall and something else that incentivizes them to do it, mm-hmm. goes to Detroit. It's like, well, they just drafted Killian Hayes, who's a ball dominant point guard, and are they going to want to have John Wall there, 3 years of John Wall there with Killian Hayes, when Killian Hayes, what he does best is having the ball in his hands, running high pick and roll, and creating for other people? It's like, no, that's, now you're going to have John Wall doing that. Now you've just mucked all this up for Hayes. I don't know what that is. And you know what? If Charlotte were just trying to take on Wall because they want to put asses in the seats and because maybe they can get a couple picks out of it, and, you know, you could just, they have room, they have cap space, so you could give them Batum, and, you know, Washington is kind of always like Batum, and so you could just make that deal straight up. It's like, no, now LaMelo is there. So,
yeah, but
so there are more roadblocks than there were even 5 days ago.
Yeah, but there is, like, on one hand, it's only 3 years. Like, I know that you want to give Hayes and LaMelo a lot of room to play with the ball in their hands. But I go back to the CP3 Shai Gilgeous-Alexander experiment that OKC played very successfully last season. And I wonder if this could be a path that more teams will follow. Because, yes, you want Killian Hayes to have the ball in his hands a lot of time, but he will play John Wall roughly 32 minutes a night, 35 maybe. So you already have the minutes where Hayes will lead the team. And Shai didn't have that last year because there was Dennis Schroeder. But he still ended up being a guy who could lead a pick and roll, who could lead a secondary pick and roll and attack off of those two guys. I do think that the modern NBA is not just I run a pick and roll and you guys stay out of the way. you can do multiple stuff with a ball handler like John Wall. You can initiate the offense with him, then move the ball. Then you have Killian Hayes attack a pick and roll. LaMelo is even better at that because, yes, he will have the ball in his hands a lot. But I think that in order to reach his full potential, he needs to be a guy that learns how to play off ball. And this could be good also for Killian Hayes because I do think that guards going forward will be asked to do multiple stuff, to be a threat when they are not with the ball in his hands, which is something that two guys that we are discussing tonight, like John Wall and Russell Westbrook, never fully learn to do. So I do think that there is some value, some teaching value in having like a great passer, awesome ball handler as John Wall together with two very young guys that know how to pass the ball, but could use some lessons from Wall, and that maybe can learn different aspects of the game and they will become better player in the future. Because again, LaMelo will have the ball in his hands quite a lot, even with Wall there, because, I mean, he is good. And so if he's good, he's just going to take possessions for himself. And if you and if all you have to move is Terry Rozier and Nicholas Batum and call it a night, why not? Like, you're not harming yourself by getting John Wall all that much if you're just trading away Rozier, which will handle possession with LaMelo there, and probably not in a very successful way. So I'm not against those deals in principle, and I do think that you can make them work. And maybe this is just like straight up, you can trade the two guys, probably with Rozier and Batum. You have too much money, and so you have to include the salary from the Washington side to make things work. But again, I wouldn't say that these deals are off the table because of Hayes and LaMelo. Last thing, do we want to talk Sacramento? I know that they have De'Aaron Fox, but they have a lot of bad contracts.
They just maxed out De'Aaron Fox.
I know they did. But again, you don't... Well, Wall and Fox probably are way too similar.
I mean, to be honest, I'll include Sacramento as a possibility, mostly because they've got new management, and I don't know how... The only thing that we know about their management is that they're 0-for-1 on sign-and-trades. That is... That is the only thing that we know.
Yeah.
So they're 0-for-1 on sign and trades to such a degree that their guys become unrestricted free agents after they do them. That's how 0-for-1 they are. By the way, that I don't think people realize how big of a deal that Bucks trade falling apart is.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal.
Like, not just because Giannis might not be there. Because of it. That's not even the whole thing. So they agreed to a Bogdanovich sign and trade that was reported on Monday, 4 days before they were allowed to do it. So, and now the league is investigating them for salary cap circumvention. People keep saying it's tampering, but the real thing is salary cap circumvention. They worked around the rules of the salary cap. And like, there are so many things about that deal. Like, there are so many ripple effects about that deal. For example, Ersan Ilyasova could have been in that deal, and then he wasn't, and now he got waived. One tweet cost Ersan Ilyasova $7 million. Like, I don't know, how is the players union respond to that? Like, these teams mismanaging this and Ersan Ilyasova getting cost $7 million. This what happens if, you know, when the Timberwolves had the Joe Smith thing, they got so many draft picks taken away, right? Because they made like an under the table deal with Joe Smith in 2000, and they got tons of draft picks taken away as a penalty because they got caught, not for tampering, for salary cap circumvention. Yeah. Like, what could end up happening here? And if the Bucks get, like, what's going to happen? Because the Bucks just traded a million draft picks in the Jrue Holiday deal, which is yet to be official. What's the league going to do if they take away draft picks? Are the Bucks literally not going to have a draft pick for 6-7 years? Like, is it going to affect the Jrue Holiday deal if they make a ruling before the Jrue Holiday deal becomes official? There's just a lot to break down about this beyond, like, oh, if this doesn't work and Giannis could end up leaving. Like, there are other ripple effects here.
Well, if they veto that trade somehow, it will be... it will be something. Like, the NBA will go on fire for... And yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel bad for Ersin. I'm always a little bit skeptical to say, well, that tweet costed Ersin. I mean, it is true. Probably we can also say that contract was already structured that way. And so that means that 7 million were not really on the table. But if the trade was to be completed, he would probably have gotten the amount. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's tricky. I mean, it's unfortunate that they messed up badly. And I don't know who leaked the information, because clearly teams are discussing stuff like that with the agents. Like, I would not be surprised if, like, every guy who had, like, a possibility for a sign-in trade was already discussing with teams and stuff like that. But there are ways to do it. And then that clearly wasn't the way. And if that tweet leaked from Sacramento, boy, oh boy, I mean, if I am Milwaukee, I know that, I mean, if I'm doing something that is kind of wrong, I should not be upset about the results, but I would be mad, like seriously mad. And I don't know, like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, people around the league were really angry.
Yeah,
really
yeah,
angry.
Yeah. I mean, of course, and yeah, the player union. Can you like? It's bad for everyone. Like, there's nothing good about this, because if Giannis leaves, like, it's bad for, like, I don't know, it's I don't know if it's good or bad, but I mean, it makes things incredibly difficult for Milwaukee. Like, I cannot imagine, like, what will happen if they say, well, now you don't have those picks, you cannot complete the deal for Jrue Holiday, and Giannis said, well, I'm out. Like, can you imagine how crazy that will be? Like,
oh my God.
And teams,
be unbelievable.
Yeah, and teams already moved in other directions. So, like, well, you find ways to trade for Giannis, of course. You put, like, everything you have. But it's very crazy. I mean, I don't know. It's... And can you imagine if he ends up being the guy who you trade Wiggins for? Like...
After all that,
like they have.
Oh, people will lose their minds.
Yeah, you have the assets. I mean, you have number two. You have the Minnesota pick. You can put like three unprotected first, and the contract that makes the salary work. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to find a better deal.
Yeah. Anyway, you need to go. I kept you too long. You said you couldn't be on for this long, and then I kept you on for this long anyway. I enticed you with trade talks. You can listen to all of Michele's musings over at Down to Dunk, which is our Thunder podcast at The Athletic, and also at the OKC Dream Team, which is a podcast that I used to be on when I covered the Thunder, and he does the Thunder After Dark editions over there, which is part of their subscription podcast, and you can go subscribe to their Patreon podcast. If you just look up the OKC Dream Team on Patreon, you'll be able to find that there, and you can listen to Michele there. Subscribe to Wizards After Dark, leave a review, give us 5 stars. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you can read my work and everybody else's work, and you can sign up for a discounted price if you go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. Again, that's theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark for a discounted price to a full subscription to The Athletic. So you get everything. You get my work, you get all the NBA stuff, all the MLB stuff, everything. If you sign up there, I will be back with a new episode. I don't know when, but I'm sure sometime soon, because there's so much Wizard stuff to talk about right now. And this is, we just kind of graced the tip of the iceberg here with the John Wall talk. We're going to be, I'm sure John Wall talk will be a constant topic on this podcast for a very long time. So I'll be back with that. I'll be back with more. I don't know when I'll be back officially, but whenever I am, I'll talk to you guys then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.